Good morning. Welcome to the Sports Radio 610 Outdoor Show on this Sunday morning. I'm Captain Mickey Eastman, producing the Outdoor Show. This morning is Jace. Our sponsors today, Allied Industrial Sales Incorporated, the Belleville Meat Market, Boyd's One Stop, and the CCA Star Tournament. All right, let's get the weather real quick here. It's 84 down on the island this morning in Galveston, and today we're looking for sun and clouds mixed, a stray shower, thunderstorms possible. They're throwing in about a 15-20% of precipitation, but winds will be southerly again at 10 to 20. And then for tonight, a few clouds, low of 83, south winds 10 to 15. And for tomorrow, clouds and sunshine, high of 88, south winds 10 to 20 miles per hour. And looking at tides for today, these are Galveston Channel tide predictions. We have three of them. We have a high coming up at 8:36 a.m. It's a 1.3. Then we have a low at 12:45 p.m., a 1.1. And then a high at 3:24 p.m., a 1.2. So pretty weak tides. Not much movement at all. Just real quick and over with. 6:29 a.m. is sunrise. 8:21 p.m. sunset. And our moon phase is 96% coming off that full moon. And current conditions right now, looking at it, it's buoy offshore showing south winds at 16 to 20. It's 84 degrees out there with 86-degree water. Eagle Point, it's 85-degree water with south winds at 13 to 15. Morgan's Point, pretty much the same, 86-degree water, south winds at 8 to 11 miles per hour. So that's kind of where we're at on weather and tides. And another week in the books. Real quick, the 2025 CCA State of Texas Anglers Rodeo. We just call it the Star Tournament. Do a quick up, a quick update on that. Texas Ford Dealers Red Tag Division. There's two reds have been turned in on that. One is confirmed. Gary Mershon of Houston, tag number RE8-1803. And then in the blue tag division for the transport boat Mercury Coastline package, Steve Isaacs of Lake Jackson, Mitchell Mays of Georgetown, Robbie Pratt of Spring, Brian Cook of Dripping Springs. They have weighed theirs in and are confirmed. Sheephead leader right now, Enrique Rangel of Houston, 9 pounds, 9 ounces. Gaff top leader, Justin Morrison of Lumberton, 6 pound, 1 ounce. Black Drum, Sue Lee of League City, 11 pounds, 10 ounces. Offshore, the Hawk Power Offshore Division. Leaders right now, there's no kingfish weighed in yet. That's a 30-pound minimum. And Dorado's a 20-pound minimum. We have Cameron Hubner of Fulcher, 37 pounds, 3 ounces. Ling Cobia, 50-pound minimum. Danielle Grunewald of Freeport, 56 pounds, 15 ounces. And Red Snapper, 20-pound minimum. Joseph Hansen of Rocheron, a 25-pound, 8-ounce red snapper. And looking at Star Kids Leader Division, we'll do those kids real quick. Sheephead, 6-pound, 3 ounces. Caroline Konecki of Mission, Texas, 9-year-old. That's a 6'3". Gaff top, Cohen Fakeney of Corpus, 5 pounds, 10 ounce. Sheephead. And the Star Teens, Levi Claiborne, 11-year-old, 9 pounds, even. He's from Pearland. And Gafftop is a 5-pound, 10-ounce. Hunter Morrison, 14, of Lumberton. So that kind of rounds off the board. And good luck and good fishing. You can't win if you're not signed up. So if you're not signed up and you're going fishing, you may want to do that. Very affordable, especially for the prizes you win. All right, let's go over to the Tri-Bay area and check in with the old hammer, Captain Glenn Hammond, this morning, see what he's up to. Good morning, Glenn. What's going on?
Good morning, Captain Mickey. Not too much, buddy. How are you this morning?
Couldn't be better, man. It's my Friday.
Great. Yes, sir. Going to get you some rest. I know, man. Getting up those hours, boy, you get up a lot earlier than I do, and I don't see how you do it, but you've been doing it a long time, so keep it up.
Couple of days.
We love to hear your voice in there, Captain Mickey, and all your experience. I know I've learned a lot from you. I've learned a lot from you through the years just talking to you, man. I'm never fished with you, but anyway, hey, it's still slow down here. I'm hitting the door running this morning. I'm going to head to the bait camp as soon as I get off this phone. I got a family of a father-in-law and a husband and a wife and a five-year-old. So I got four folks on the boat today, and we're going to put some hop-o-matics on there and see if we can't go out and have us some fun somewhere. You know what I'm talking about?
Multi-generational trip.
Multi-generational. Yes, sir. Yeah. I said, are you going to...
What if everybody's ever taken a great-grandfather, a grandfather, a father, and a son?
That's a good question. If I could remember what you just said, I'd write it down. Hey, they had something. There's some monkey business going on down here in Surfside, buddy.
Let's hear about monkey business. What we got monkeying around down there, man?
Literally. I went by my property that I rent out down there, and the security light's been off the last couple of mornings. Well, I stopped by there yesterday, and the guy that's renting the property from me, he said, man, you just missed it. Where's monkey business going on here? And I said, what happened? And he showed me a video. This guy pulled up in a golf cart, and he had a squirrel monkey or some kind of monkey on a golf cart. Spider monkey. Yeah, that's what it was.
I never heard of squirrel monkey, but I've heard of a spider monkey.
Well, no, there's squirrel monkeys, a little bitty, almost the same as a squirrel, but they're a small animal. We had one until he started eating everything in the house and biting me. He bit my dad on the ear, and that was it. We got rid of him. But anyway, this guy on the golf cart showed up at the underneath my palapa and let that monkey jumped off the golf cart. He hopped up on the palapa, he hopped up on the garage, and then he jumped up on the guy's motorhome, and he ran across the highway three times. Luckily, he didn't get run over, man. And this monkey was having a time down there at our palapa. You ought to see it. We spent almost $30,000 on this palapa. It's a big old area shade down there. And
right.
Anyway, that monkey was all over it. And then I noticed that there's some kind of a relay or some kind of a race down here yesterday, and there was 9 million horse trailers. Maybe somebody will call in, give us some info, but I don't know what was going on, but they were all headed towards Galveston. There was a relay, a race. There was track runners. There was walkers. I mean, it went on for all day, and, buddy, was there some people down here. That bridge... coming over the intercoastal waterway, you couldn't get another car on that bridge. I mean, people loading onto this island yesterday. I guess it was for some kind of a race or something. But anyway, I got out yesterday, and my trailer, I got those tall arms that hold my tail lights.
Yeah.
The metal arm that actually bolts onto the trailer was all rusted, and I couldn't get it out of the PVC pipe. So, because what happened is, like, rusted in half, and I was about to lose my whole arm. I was going to be dragging the whole thing down the road. So, I had an extra arm, and I went and bought me a 10-foot piece of thick wall PVC 2-inch. And I got it all rigged back up yesterday. But, buddy, right about time I got all the materials together, that sun was on top of me. And here I am rolling around underneath the trailer. Looked like a
nice
beach walrus.
Good day for it.
I tried to get out there before the sun got up, but things didn't just work out.
Yeah, it don't ever work out. That's why
I curtailed myself
projects this time of year.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I know. I have tried to put them off till late afternoon or get out there before that sun gets too hot.
Yeah.
But no, fishing in our area, the wind has still not let the water clear. Our things aren't going to change until we get some clear currents or some greener currents or something to work
with.
Yeah,
we need a change in the weather big time. Everybody's had enough of this mess.
Oh, I know. You got to duck away to some protected little cove or
something.
Well,
everybody's sick of doing
that.
They're just sick of fishing in the same place every time they go.
That's it. That's it. I'm going right back to this morning, too.
I want some greener pastures, man. I want to be able to do a lot of different things. That's how you find bigger fish, better fish.
I know it, man. It's almost like they skipped out of our neighborhood, man. I don't know what it is. It happens this time every year, though, when the water gets so hot and the tides are low and the fish are just miserable. And you know what I mean? They just go to deeper water. And so I'm headed down to Christmas Bay this morning. I'm going to go over back to Bastrop and maybe a little Cold Pass area. It depends, man. That's where all the boat traffic is. I try to stay away from there, especially on the weekends. Sunday morning, so there'll be everybody and their brother out there. But
well,
we're gonna get out there and have
a little better than Friday and Saturday.
Little better
traffic wise.
Yeah, little.
You know,
better,
I know it is up my way. It may be different down there. Y'all get a lot more pressure down there.
You couldn't tell it like this bait camp I'm fixing to go to. There'll probably be cars already parked out on the highway waiting to get in there. I mean, it's like there is fishermen from every corner of the world down here right now.
Jeff Coat was telling me yesterday when I was talking to him. He was headed to the marina. He has to leave an hour early just so he can get a parking place on weekends.
Isn't that something?
He said that bait shop there was over 100 boats and trucks lined up waiting to get bait. Hmm. Everybody trying to get live shrimp. So That's it, man. That's tough. That's tough.
You see a flag flying, grab it. Grab it while you can if you're going to bait way.
Y'all's bait availability good down there right now? Everybody pretty much have
it is. They're holding good supplies, yeah. Yeah, there's four or five different bait camps down here, and I've seen flags flying at every one of them. So I know they got croakers and shrimp. Now, how long they have them this morning, I couldn't tell you. You know, they might be sold out by 9 or 10 o'clock. Usually they are. So, but maybe I'll have you some kind of report, and I'll try to put these people on some fish this morning.
Well, good luck to you, and y'all go out there and do a little monkeying around and see if you can find a few.
Monkeying around and surfside.
That's it, man.
Yes, sir.
Good old monkey fishing. All right, wear your monkey gloves.
Yeah.
I wear those when I fish. They save your hands, man. They're really good.
I know.
Hey, throw them out some info, Hammer. Somebody wants to call you, buddy.
Yes, sir, and I appreciate it. They can always reach me at 713-208-0683. Man, y'all have a great fun Sunday.
All right, Glenn, see you now. Take care.
Yes, sir.
All right, that's the Hammer down in the Tri-Bay area. And, you know, folks, if you're looking for the ultimate outdoor adventure, well, welcome to Rusty Hook Ranch, a premier hunting and fishing destination right in Matagorda, Texas. Whether you're after waterfowl, quail, thermal hog, or even alligator hunts, Rusty Hook Ranch has it all. And don't forget about their top-tier Matagorda Bay fishing charters. So bring your friends, your clients, let the boys at Rusty Hook Ranch take care of everything from five-star lodging, skeet shooting, and sporting clays to a fully stocked bass pond. Your weekend here will be one you won't soon forget. And if you need a place for team building and family reunions, weddings, or other events, Rusty Hook Ranch can sleep large groups of up to 40 and host events for up to 300 people. So why wait? Experience the best of Texas at Rusty Hook Ranch. Book your adventure today at RustyHookRanch.com. That's RustyHookRanch.com. Please tell them Captain Mickey sent you. Good morning. Welcome back to the Outdoor Show. All right, it's 4:17 here in the Bayou City. All right, let's run down Freeport Way and check in with Captain Jeff Naylor this morning, see what he's up to. Good morning, Jeff. What's going on, man?
What's going on, Captain Mickey? How are you doing this morning?
Oh, I couldn't be better. It's all good.
I know that's right, man. That wind is just going to be relentless. It's just not going to stop, man.
I mean, man, we're already past July 4th and it's still blowing.
I'm telling you, man.
We have about a teaser week of about 4 days or something. It was nice.
Yeah, and, you know, the whole 4th of July weekend really was supposed to be fantastic, which, in turn, you know, where we went was perfect, but yeah, here it was just blowing, it just didn't stop, yeah.
Teaser
week. We're looking at next week. Next weekend's not looking so bad right now. Let's cross our fingers, maybe we'll start getting into some better weather, and every time I talk to Casey, Casey's down in South Texas right now, and every time I talk to Casey, he keeps reminding me about the year that the wind blew for all year long, and all of a sudden they got 110 straight days of fishing. Well, I'm not in on 110 days of straight fishing. I'm all good without that. I mean, I get it, but you know, I mean, let's just hope though, for the sake of fishing in general, that we do get that 110 straight days of fishing.
Yeah.
But yeah, man, this is the pattern. You know, blows like crazy June, July. It gets better, you know, August, September, and then just hotter than Hades, you know, and you really don't win a lot of the time. It's just trading one thing for the other. But no, man, all kidding aside, we haven't been fishing a whole lot, but the few people who have been fishing, they paid a price. They did the King the Port O'Connor, Freeport to Port O'Connor toy run, King Mackerel, King Masters, I think it is, a tournament this weekend at Searchlight Marina. It is a mouthful.
Good Lord.
And, Gus Alvarez came away with a little check, and I think 11 boats showed up. I mean, it's pretty thin turnout, but overall, you know, a lot of folks fish it, and it's a good organization. So that went this weekend, and still not real big kingfish numbers, you know, a few more numbers, but not any real big ones. So man, this is gonna turn out to be a very strange year, you know, especially on the starboard with nothing showing.
No, it's 30-pound minimum on kings, and there's not one weighed in yet.
I've heard stories of a couple that got away, and but I haven't heard of any that got close to 30 yet. Biggest kingfish I've heard caught all year long was about 17 pounds.
That's what I saw the other day. I saw a 17 somebody had. They were so excited about it.
Yeah.
That used to be a school king, man.
That's right. And they, you know, they look big. I give you that.
I wonder, you know, I was thinking about this the other day. I don't live and breathe offshore fishing like you guys do, but I think about it at times and what has changed. And I think, you know, ever since, you know, they've taken a lot of those rigs down, all that structure out there, things have changed. I mean,
sure,
you still have bottom structure for fish. I get that. But, you know, as far as above water structure, it gives, you know, the average guy that he doesn't have all the snag charts and, you know, the good numbers and everything like a lot of the pros do. But it's still habitat. It's still structure, even though it, you know, comes out of the water and it holds all kinds of bait fish and other. I wonder if that plays into it somewhat. I don't know. I don't have any answers.
It is hard to, you know, I'll tell you this. I mean, what I do know about kingfish, they do migrate, you know, and a lot of that, there's only a few places.
Most of your offshore fish do out there, except for your bottom fish, you know, and your, you know, snapper and stuff. But
sure. Does that mean that they're, you know, hatching? You know, so a few years ago, and I know that
structure to stop them when they do migrate.
You could
troll past a rig, troll around it to find which end of the rig they were on, and you could always find kings doing that if there were no shrimp boats or anything to fish.
Sure. No, I mean, I'm not saying that the structure thing is not the, you know, it very well could be. The wild card in the whole thing is that, you know, according to the studies, where these kingfish go lay their eggs and, you know, their hatcheries essentially each year, the biologists say that they're laying as many or more eggs than they ever have in the past in the history. So, you know, you got to imagine, I mean, who's to say that all those eggs are hatching, you know, from start to finish? But basically, they're saying that they're laying down just as many eggs as they ever have, and
well, there should be
which leads
more
you to
fish
believe
then.
there should be more fish. That's right, absolutely. And yeah, I mean, is the loss of structure and habitat here affecting you? I'm sure it is, 100%. There's not a question about it. I don't think it. Now, is it at the numbers and the rate that it is right now? Oddly enough, some of the best kingfishing spots that we have here in Freeport area, even when a lot of the rigs were up, were actual bottom structures. They were there was one in particular that was has been a hot spot for years, and the rigs were good too, but it's very odd though that a bottom structure was still, even back then, one of our hot spots. And now it's not. And right now, the kings that are biting right now are inshore. We have very little very little good bites offshore in those same areas that I just referred to.
Yeah.
There's several good bites been
Well, how
going on
about
near shore.
commercial fishing activity? I just had a text from a listener said the commercial guys wiped them out. He said, I saw it firsthand. I didn't even know they commercial fish for kingfish.
Yep, they do commercial fishing, and I'm unaware of I have seen a few guys around here. I mean, from what I witness over here, it seems like there's not enough of, what I've seen to put a dent in them, but not to say that's not an issue either. I mean, it could very well be,
Yeah, I wonder why the feds don't regulate that like they do their snapper.
And I think it's some, yeah. I mean, that is a good question. We look, snapper this year, speaking of, have been a very tough commodity as well. And upon my research, what I've been bouncing around finding is that a lot of the areas where we, most people would have numbers wrecks, like, very public spots. Yeah, they're kind of bleak right now, and I'm not real sure why. Some of the other places that I have been looking are like wellheads and pipelines and stuff like that are marked on the Garmin maps. And I'm, for a guide, for me, for offshore fishing, I spend about 50% of my time fishing known areas that I know exactly where to go find them. And I spend another 50% of my life searching and finding, because, for moments like this where you just, all of a sudden they go away. Well, they didn't go away. You just got to go find them. So I've been running down pipelines. Some of the old spots that I used to have, smaller spots, are stacked. So I'm not sure exactly. This is kind of a new one for me. I've never seen them kind of move around to this degree. They always tend to come back, or something a little bit earlier in the year than this. But it's been bleak. And down south, I actually just got done talking to Mark Holland last night. Down south, they're struggling hard with sharks, and they're not. Last year and over here in Galveston, we're having a big problem with bigger sharks. Down there, it's all these little spinner sharks, and just hundreds of, thousands of them, little small sharks, 3-4 footers. You send down for with your beeline rigs and stuff like that on some of the rocks, and just come up two and three on each hook, or excuse me, on each drop. But
Yeah.
yeah, it's kind of an ever-changing thing. Casey would tell me that they had problems with the sharks back in the day, similar to this in certain areas. And in those certain areas, they would also have other fish problems. The snapper would tend to move away. The kingfish would bite, would get real tough. I'm not seeing the shark infestation as far as the big sharks that we've had in years past, in the last few years, in the same general areas. But there is a big shark problem too. So
Yeah.
I don't know. And it could, all these components be added up together to affect the kingfish population. I mean, that's that's probably a more likely candidate. You know, I think it's just a series of events that probably did not do well for them.
I got you.
Lost. My opinion, so please don't crucify me, but, you know, no, that's
everybody has their opinions. I mean, there's theories about everything, and it's just, I just remember, you know, all back in the day, I mean, even we all, instead of fishing, you know, the bays on 4th of July weekend, the weather was good. Everybody went king fishing. That was the big, you know, kickoff to everybody wanted to catch kings. And sure. You'd go out and, I mean, it was nothing to catch 30, 40, 50 kings a trip. Well, you know, just right out of Galveston, just towards the hill bank and hit all your rigs out there. And if there's any shrimp boats whatsoever tied, you know, all that. And, man, times have changed, kingfish. I want to, when I do this commercial break, James Bloggs wants to do a three-way with us. I'm going to get Jace to call him, and he wants to weigh in with you on this kingfish deal. Talk some offshore, if that's cool with
Glad you. Glad to. Absolutely.
Yeah,
that'd be
neat. And we'll get see what he's got to say and offer. But
absolutely.
Anyway, well, hang on, Jeff. Let me knock out this commercial break, and we'll go from there, my friend.
Okay, sounds
hang
good.
Hang with me. I'll be right back. Well, I need to take a moment to tell everyone about the Belleville Meat Market. What a great place to shop for grade A cuts of beef, pork, and chicken. They have smoked sausage samples available daily in their store. You can try different blends, see what you like the best. With a full menu of pecan smoked barbecue that's served Monday through Sunday, 10 a.m. to 7 p.m., along with bulk pricing available on fresh ground beef. And check out all their other products that are great to take home, like homemade hot dogs, original and with cheddar cheese, hamburger patty, stuffed pork tenderloins, stuffed peppers, stuffed mushrooms. Let the Belleville Meat Market be your backyard barbecue block party headquarters. And check out their new Chuck Wagon patties. These are half-pound beef patties, seasoned and loaded with cheddar cheese. And while you're there, check out all their grab-and-go snacking products, like beef jerky, turkey jerky, dry sausage, and dry sticks, and their wild game processing facility. It never closes. It's open year-round. And check out their new sausage recipe that they have available. You got to try it. It's really good. And the Belleville's been celebrating over 42 years serving the greater Houston community. That's the Belleville Meat Market, where meat is our middle name. Good morning. Welcome back to the Sports Radio 610 Outdoor Show. All right, real quick, I noticed Lake Travis has been closed. This comes after the Lower Colorado River Authority issued a press release, and they're saying that due to, you know, for commercial activity, only emergency vehicles because of, you know, the flash floods, you know, they affected these lakes and waterways, and due to debris, flood debris, bacteria, and fast flows. And also, they recommend that people avoid being on lakes Buchanan, Inks, LBJ, Marble Falls, and Travis because of flood debris and bacteria and fast flows. So there you go. All right, well, let's get back to the phones. Let's get with Jeff Naylor and James Plog now. Let's get to strike us up a three-way here real quick. All right, guys, we're back.
Back in action.
You there, James?
What's up?
Hey,
yeah,
man.
What's up, buddy?
What's going on, Naylor?
What's going on, James? How you doing this morning?
Dude, why ain't you sending it, man? Nice this morning, about 4 foot.
Yeah. You know, I took the back brace off already last week, man. I don't need to put it back on.
Man, that's like the coon asses over there fishing in tournaments. Hey, man, it was kind of rough today, buddy. We need to buy a bigger boat. Instead of a 75, get me an 80, man. We got to keep going.
I know that's
hey,
right.
Man, I don't want to get nobody's business, but I saw something that most people ain't never seen. Not from Texas, anyway. And I've told Mickey this before. So I worked in Venice, Louisiana for quite a few years tarpon fishing down there. So I would get there after the Grand Isle Rodeo, and I would come home like October the 1st. So we're at Northeast Pass one day, and I see this boat dragging around out there. He's there all day, man, all day. And they're catching stuff. I don't know where. I've never seen a boat like this. It's like a Lafitte skiff. You know what they? It's like a lobster boat looking deal. You know what I'm saying? Up there in the East Coast. Yeah. So, at that time, we were staying at Cypress Cove. And the next morning, I get ready to leave to go tarpon fishing, and there's that boat that I saw, Bottoms Old Brown. It's a commercial rig with, like we used to snapper fish with them bicycle wheels, like that, and little outriggers. And I run into this guy. They're kingfishing, commercial kingfishing. One guy. I said, man, I didn't even know you sold kingfish. He said, oh, yeah. He's from Florida, and their kingfishing is really poor over there. So this is year one. Year two, I forget what year this is. It's a while back. It's before Katrina, okay? So whenever Katrina was. And, man, the next summer I get there, there's like three boats. They're at Southeast and Northeast. Let's fast forward like 4 years of seeing this. This is the year before Katrina. Dude, the whole marina is full of commercial boats from Florida. I mean, we're lucky to have a slip, outside slips. Let's just say that I can see is 12 boats, okay? 12 commercial kingfishing boats. Where my barge is, there's my barge. Now I'm at Venice Marina, where Butler then is. I never forget when Katrina was coming. Butler said, man, I can't believe you boys from Texas. All you got to do is go fish the other side of the river. Y'all be fine. And you know the rest of that story.
Yeah. So,
they set up an operation, dude. Right by, every afternoon, I'm looking at it. I'm sitting there with my customers or having people. We slept like 30 on that barge. Dude, they done had a refrigeration system set up. They're hauling them kingfish out of there. And I never forget telling Robbie or somebody this. I said, there ain't going to be a kingfish left on the planet. Because there ain't none in Florida. They already got them. I'm telling you, Naylor, I'm watching 18-wheeler loads of kingfish leave every day. Yeah. Every day. And I said, there's no way, man. There'll never be another kingfish left on the planet. Wow, well, fast forward to now. And you coincide with that. I talked to Bill Platt the other day, Naylor. Bill and I are super good friends. Bill said, you pay me $6,000 right now to catch you a 40-pound kingfish. I can't do it. Not here. Yeah. Not here. You can go east. There's so many kingfish over there, Jeff, at the river. Ice run between
tigers. That's because of the river, you think, James?
Yes, sir. Mickey, that's where they live, man. That's where all the big kingfish. That's where Bill would go. Everybody went there to win kingfish tournaments, unless you were just not on the East Coast being stupid.
Right.
Hey, Bill left here fishing the kingfish tournament at Orange Beach, Alabama, left from here, fished the west side of the river and went into Orange Beach in an outboard boat.
Wow.
Because that's where the big kingfish are. And the reason you can still go catch some over there is there was just so many. And it ain't no good. Hey, I would run between you come out of Tiger and you run into Southwest. Well, there's an area right there you go through that's like 106 foot deep. I was just talking to Bill about this. Every morning, and I may be exaggerating a little bit, but 30 to 40 pound, maybe 60 pound kingfish, they're just flying out of the water. Coonasses don't care about a kingfish. I don't care about them going tarpon fish. I said, hey, man, it's pretty cool watching these kingfish. And I asked Bill if he ever fished there. He said, nah, not really. You know, he fished block 58 out there, kind of where we were tarpon fishing, a little bit offshore, you know, a little bit. But there's no way, Jeff. And I was telling Mickey this. Not, look, I ain't no biologist. I ain't nothing. I'm pretty stupid, actually. But you can't catch that many kingfish like that, that probably their migration pattern, probably, if you had to guess, probably comes through Texas, just like the cobia do. You know the cobias, they come from that way. Yeah. You nothing can sustain that. What I saw, I'll never forget it. How many kingfish fits in the back of a refrigerated 18-wheeler? You know, I don't know, but it's a boatload.
They're long and skinny, man. Stack them like cordwood, huh, Jeff?
Oh, man, I mean.
Get you in giant boxes and stack it to the top, baby.
Dude, yeah. They left out of there every day. I washed it every day. And this is in 05. This is when Katrina came. That was the year that they'd been got set up right there. And they had that plant. I don't know. It wasn't a processing plant. It was just a place to where they could keep them cold or gut them, whatever they did.
Yeah.
Hey, I laughed at that. Yeah. I told my guys, I said, look, man, they just went an 18-wheeler load of kingfish.
So now
you fast forward to now, you know, like Mickey said, you could go to 199, Mickey, just not that many years ago. Just pick a number, let's say just 10 years ago. I can go to 199 right now today if I don't turn upside down and catch 30 kingfish. You know, you could too, neighbor. But you go to South Padre. Now, look, I ain't no South Padre fisherman, okay? Don't think I am. But I'm fishing at the jetties, trying to catch a tarpon, and I can't keep the 20 to 25, we didn't catch no 30s, 20, let's just say 15 to 25-pound kingfish. They're eating every coast hawk I got thrown at a tarpon. So yeah. They got them there, and not that I care about kingfish, I don't, but I hate that people can't catch them anymore. So for some reason, some of them kingfish got to be coming from the south that are down there because there's so many of them. You ought to ask Brian that, Mickey. He'll tell you. Hey, those guys go to kingfish at the jetties and they catch
them. Well, they walk the rocks and catch them like crazy down there.
100%. So you tell me.
But I mean, Galveston and Freeport, that used to be Kingfish City, and these guys would pop out and just nuke them. I mean, they took up the slack, huh, Jeff?
Oh, for sure. I mean, I would say this is up until about, right before COVID years, or right maybe even into the COVID years. I mean, it was that was a guarantee, you know, a limited kingfish. And I would honestly, here's another thing, James, that added to that. So Texas Parks and Wildlife and the feds turned around and said, all right, we're going to give everybody 3 kingfish per day. They still have not come off that number. It's still 3 per person. It, well,
it used to be two, right?
And
yeah, two, and then they went to 3.
And they went to 3. And that's a good question, well, Mark. And then there's another wild card, too, in the whole thing. So you're right. I don't know per se how that commercial fishing over there in New Orleans is going right now. And excuse me, down in Fouchon, Dennis, all that. But I have seen more big kingfish caught in the last 4 years during the Wahoo run at the gardens in January and February than I ever have in all my history. I can never recall another time when the Wahoo bite would get slow and the guys coming in from the gardens would have a dozen that were 50 plus. And this is like
good
this year.
Lord.
This happened this year. Not four years ago, you know what I mean?
No, I think you're right. It ain't like every kingfish on the planet's gone. You know that. But in the wintertime, with the temperature, it's kind of like our trout fishing that Mickey and I talk about. It may not be that good, but if you put them all in one spot, I'm going to get me some of them.
Yeah,
so where are you going to go? You got the gardens. You may go to Stetson at that time of year. So whatever's there, it's right there. It's there. You know, you know what I'm talking about. So it may make it a little bit better than what it is. Just like our trout fishing, I may find me a spot that's got millions of them, but you leave there and go all over this bay, it sucks. You don't catch anything. But you're exactly right about that. But Bill told me, he said, you know, I'm better off fishing Wahoo. You know, he said, I catch a big Wahoo.
Yeah.
But, you know, and I don't care about a kingfish, but I just listen to y'all. And I never in my mind forget what I saw. And it's like Mickey back when they used to net when I was a kid working for you. You just don't ever forget something like that.
No.
And I'm thinking in my mind, they're catching every kingfish on the planet. None of those boats, Jeff, not a one of them, were from Louisiana. All from Florida. No Louisiana boats. Good ass, they don't care about a kingfish.
John Thomas tells me the same thing. You know, he tells me the same thing. He said that they're still commercial fishing over there in Venice, and that's part of what's going on, and it very well could be. I mean, I have no real answers, you know.
They're still doing it, Jip? I didn't know.
He says they are. Now, I mean, he hasn't been fishing much. You know, they did the Mississippi, you know, King Masters, I think, last year, but I don't think they did it this year. And, yeah, I mean, that's what he says. That's what he swears by. But
do they still kingfish tournaments over there? They still fish on the west side of the river like Bill and them used to do?
Man, you know, he said that it got real dead. You know, the Mississippi, the Masters had some money in it, so they were fishing that a little bit. But they used to hit several tournaments over there, you know, SKA runs or whatever. And he said they quit because it just, for one, the fishing got too bad. And then the turnout was, you know, there's not enough money. And like you just alluded to, all those guys for the last 3 or 4 years at least start out in Mississippi and they drive all the way to here, or they drive to, you know, wherever. I mean, it's a 200-300 mile run, you know, and yeah. He said just there was no money in it, you know, for
if there's no money, that's like Cameron. I mean, you know, you're gonna load up, put two bladders on there, and I'm gonna run from here. And he did it with Bill Cannon. They left Port O'Connor and went to the Green Canyon in a 82 Viking. I said, Cameron, where are y'all going? So we're going to the Green Canyon, man, from Port O'Connor. Mickey, I think that 82 held like, I'm just guessing, I'm pretty close, maybe 4,300 gallons. And Bill had three bladders.
Plus two bladders.
Yeah. Oh, and Bill ain't chugging. They left out of Port O'Connor, put it on 1850 and never looked back. Hey, it didn't catch nothing. The water was green. Hey, I said, Bill, what's the water look like? Man, I think it's okay. Cameron said they got out there and the water was green. They caught a white marlin.
Whoa. Oh, no.
But like you say, Jeff, if there's no money in that, that's like me go fishing in the Legends, trout fishing in the middle of February. It's like 18 degrees. It's terrible, and there's four boats fishing in it. I ain't going. Now, you tell me I'm going to go out there and maybe catch me 100 grand? Well, I may entertain it. But yes. I get it with your kingfish guys. But I know, Mickey, all the big kingfish, when Bill was, SKA was hot, and Jeff knows this too, you know, the mouth of the river was the hot spot. That's where you went.
Yeah, everybody went.
Bill had some stuff. Right, Bill had some stuff out of Texas, but he would run east a lot, way east a lot. But
yeah.
There just was so, that's like anything at the river, there's so much of it that even when it's crappy, you can catch some kingfish. But when it gets crappy here, it's just
really crappy.
It's really
like it is right now, huh, Jeff?
John told me too. He said exactly what you allude to, that they would generally go east, you know. But he said that there was several decent spots that were, let's just say, offshore Beaumont or offshore of, you know, Lake Charles, something like that. And he said since, you know, in the last 4 or 5 years, the water's been so warm over there that it hadn't been holding the bait. You essentially got to go all the way to Venice or, you know, something like that in order to even get around it. And then some of the spots over there on the big kingfish days, so loaded with boats, you can't hardly get around. And he said it's not even worth it. But ironically, to your point, he said those areas from basically Beaumont all the way to Venice are pretty much dead. You know, they're non-existent. Yeah,
I've took boats back and forth from there, Jeff, you know, bringing them back from Venice to Texas. I've never really, quote, fished any of that stuff. I mean, you know, we would go fish some stuff that, like you said, was off of Cameron. But as far as fishing, that little stretch between there, but like where Bill and them would fish, and probably your buddy too, you know, where we would tarpon fish, because everything's a block number over there. Wherever you're at, you're on a block number, like a rig chart, block 41 or 58 or whatever.
Right.
And Bill and them used to fish just offshore, like block 58, 41, which, you know, really, if you draw a straight line, it's between Grand Isle and really Grand Isle and Tiger Pass. That's where they would fish a lot. Man, we would see so many kingfish, dude, over there flying out of the water, like, it was cool just to watch them. But I just never forget, and I told somebody sitting there one day, we were all through fishing, we tied our boats right out of barge. I told them, I said, I'm going to tell y'all, they're catching every kingfish on the planet right here. I just ain't never seen nothing like it.
18
nothing can, nothing can hold up to that, Jeff or Mickey. Well, no matter what kind of fish it is, dude, these guys were efficient, man. They had them two wheels and them two little riggers, and what they would do, there were you remember, you know what a pet spoon is, Jeff or Mickey? A big
Spoon.
They had pet spoons, and they had some kind of deal. Was like a triple double hook rig. It's almost like you take a towel thing that you hang on your bat, you know, you hang a towel on, like a chrome one or a gold one. They cut it in half, drill some kind of hole to put, and they were nice guys. I ain't knocking the guys. They're just
like
making
a little
lip.
Spreader bar like outfit. Yeah
dude, with two hooks catching two. I watched them, man. They are wearing these kingfish out, dude. I said, gosh, dog, look at this, man. But the reason I think they showed up over there, they can't have any kingfish. Those guys all came from there. So that tells me we can't make a living kingfishing in Florida. Let's go wipe this out. When we get through wiping this out, well, we'll go do something else. We'll go work on cars or something. But I guess it's sustainable enough over there for them guys to still be doing it. I'm glad you told me that, Jeff. I didn't have no clue whether they were doing it or not anymore.
Yeah, like you said, he hadn't been over there a few years, but he claimed that they're still doing it over there. Now, I mean, it's you know, and that I think you're absolutely right. I mean, that there's no question in my mind that commercial fishing is definitely a component in the resources, you know, that they're fishing for everybody else. I mean, and that doesn't matter what it is, snapper, kingfish, you know, ling, whatever. I mean, it has to be a happy marriage, you know. And you're right, when they get ganged up like that, and to your point, you know, one of the things that we really need to look at in the future is when all those fish are balled up in one spot, are we going to allow the commercial or the recreational sector, for that matter, to go there and start beating up on them as bad as we have been? And, you know, maybe that is really the key to it all, you know, is, you know, let's find out where they ganged up at certain times of year and kind of restrict that a little bit, limit it, you know, and especially.
The kingfish, you're right. The kingfish are fun. They ain't no good.
Yeah,
they are. Make kingfish dip. You can make kingfish dip out of them, but, you know, turn them loose. I mean, you know, some of them are going to die, but I guarantee you those guys and your buddies and all of us that go out there and fish in the wintertime Wahoo, I don't want no kingfish on my line. I'm trying to catch a Wahoo. Get away from me.
That's right. You know, and my point with that was that, you know, there's a lot of the breeding females, you know, you just not, we're not catching any of them during the year. And all of a sudden they're all ganged up there in the, you know, winter months. You know, let's just leave them alone. And I try to preach that to all these people when I see them with 10 or 12 of them. I say, man, you know, that's so many millions of fish you just killed, you know, for very little reason. Let's, you know, the big ones, they're not as easy to let go, but they will, you know, and we should all try to give them a shot.
Well, it's just like the Wahoo, dude. You don't need 25 Wahoos. You don't need 30 Wahoos. You don't. And, man, what's the most Cameron them ever caught? When he worked on a Legacy, I think, with Kevin and them, I don't know how many they had. It might have been, I think it was like 27. But, you know, Mr. George on the boat, he liked to get that meat. And then Wahoo was biting, he was going to get them. But it's like
boys,
anything.
That long segment went quick.
Hey, and I don't mean to get
a fast one, man.
Well, Mickey, I appreciate it. I don't mean to get nobody's business. I don't. I mean, it's Jeff's hour, not mine. But I would just, I just had to tell y'all about what I seen, and I know what I saw.
Yeah.
Well, that was interesting. That was good. I mean, it that was something good to address, because it's changed. It all has changed. Jeff knows that better than any of us.
Yeah. That makes your job hard, Jeff. Now,
yes,
you get your old two snapper. All right, we'll go get our old stupid kingfish. If y'all want your kingfish, well, now you got to go try to do something.
Well, people
else
enjoyed catching them. They're fun to catch. I mean,
they're fun.
We used to go out and catch 50, 60 a day, and, you know, we just release them. We didn't.
Yeah.
We just cut them loose. But, boy, it's a lot of fun on, you know, semi-light tackle. Man.
You bet.
Drag rippers, screamers, smokers.
199. We were tarpon fishing. It was terrible. I said, man, let's run out to 199. I don't even know what I guess I had some stuff with me, and I had bow pits with me. I never forget. We went out there, and I think we caught like 32 kingfish. 199 is gone now, but and it was nothing.
Well, that's like that little old rig out of the past, 11 miles out there, 13, whatever it was. You go to 303 and melt everything down in the boat on kingfish all day long if you wanted to. I mean, it just
that's a fact.
Times have changed. Well, Jeff, if somebody wants to get with you and come over and offshore fish or get with you on whatever related offshore stuff you do, how do they get a hold of you?
Yeah, give me a holler anytime at 979-417-1013. James, it's always great talking to you, brother.
Yeah, James, hey, throw your number out you that way somebody for sure wants to go king fishing with you.
Hey, that's Jeff's out. Hey, Jeff, I appreciate it, and I enjoy talking with you, buddy. Y'all knock them out, and
same
I hope the wind calms down for you, buddy. It will. It's going to lay out next week.
Y'all have a good Sunday. I'm going to hold you to that plug. All right, man. Later, guys. All right.
Bye.
All right, it's time for our top of the hour break. You're listening to The Outdoor Show. We'll be right back.